Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the PB Fintech earnings call for quarter four financial year 2022-23. We have with us Mr. Yashish Dahiya, Chairman, Mr. Alok Bansal, Executive Vice Chairman, Mr. Sarbvir Singh, Joint CEO, Mr. Naveen Kukreja, CEO, Paisa Bazaar, Mr. Mandeep Mehta, Group CFO, Ms. Rasleen Kaur, Head Corporate Strategy and Investor Relations. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and anyone who wishes to ask a question may enter star and one on their touchtone phone. To remove yourself from the queue, please enter star and two. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Yashish Dahiya. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you very much. Apologies for the late start. We've had a bit of a lease line issue, and I'm also taking this call from a mobile. We're all taking this call from a mobile for that reason. So apologies in advance for any droppage in quality, etc. Without further ado, we are laying out our performance results for the quarter and year ended March 31, 2023, which was the last year. Our revenue grew to 2,558 crores, marking growth of 80% over year 22. Our Q4 revenue is 869 crores, which is 61% YOY growth. And our PAT loss reduced from 220 crores in the previous year to 9 crores in the previous year, same quarter, to 9 crores this year. That's a margin of about minus 1%. It was minus 41% last year. We were on an adjusted EBITDA basis. We were 28 crores positive for Q4, which is a 3% margin. This last year was minus 80 crores, which was minus 15% margin. And both the growth of the core business as well as the new initiatives, loss reduction, have contributed to this. Our existing business adjusted EBITDA increased by 54 crores for the quarter and 218 crores for the year as compared to the same period last year. If you recollect, we had spoken about 150 to 200 crore every year kind of increment, so that's 218 crores in the last year. This growth is driven by primarily three things. Renewal income, which is the most sort of robust part of the growth, obviously, because that's sort of done because of our past effort, not for this year's effort. Growth of new business and higher efficiencies on new business. So our annual run rate on the renewal income is now 388 crores, which was 265 crores last year in the same quarter. This typically operates at about 85% margin and is a significant source of profit growth. We are now at an annual run rate of 14,000 crores insurance premium. The operating metric we look at is the premium per inquiry, which is now at 1,754, which is our highest ever. It is 27% higher than last year. However, I have to add here that while this is for the quarter, this is for the full year, March would have some contribution to it because March was a bit of an exceptional month from a savings business perspective, where certain tax advantages led to higher sales of the savings products than usual. Our CSAT continues to stay at 88%. Our existing business did 504 crores for Q4, and out of this, credit-linked revenue was 120 crores. The credit business continues to grow quite decently and has been EBITDA positive now since December 2022. We are now at a run rate of about 15,000 crores disbursal and more than 500,000 credit card issuances on an annualized basis. Approximately 35 million customers have accessed the credit score platform. In credit cards, the key theme, and in lending, the key theme is digitization. Today, 75% of the cards being issued are end-to-end digital. While this may not seem like a lot, but in the past, this was not the case. It was much, much lower. Until a few years ago, end-to-end digital was almost negligible. Co-created product strategy is shaping up well with the now six products that we have, which are on, you know, a co-created platform. Our new initiative revenue has obviously grown quite well. That is 365 crores in Q4. And the adjusted EBITDA loss on new initiatives is 36 crores. Then moving from a margin of minus 51 crores to a margin of, you know, minus a few percentage points given where we are right now. This explains that while we have grown, you know, our losses have come down. So if you recollect, our new initiative losses had peaked at 90 crores. They're down to 36 crores now. PB Partners, our agency aggregator platform, continues to lead the market in scale and efficiency of operations. It has the highest proportion of non-motor business, now 34%, and is presently in 15,000 PIN codes in India. Our UAE business has grown 2.7x. So essentially, new initiatives continue to do well, continue to scale well. We are fairly hopeful of having a positive PAT in our current year, which is 2023-24, and happy to take questions now.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, to ask a question, you may press star and 1. The first question is from the line of Madhukar Ladha from Nuvama. Please go ahead.
Hi. Congratulations on a good set of numbers. So I want to get a sense of, you know, March, as you said, was an exceptional month. Maybe you could give us some color on how much you would quantify as additional insurance sales in the month of March. And also, my sense is that there could also be some pre-buying given that the tax incentives expire. So although the ticket sizes would not have been more than 5 lakhs, even in the lower ticket size, we could have seen some pre-buying. So maybe you could help us understand what you're seeing out there.
I will request Sarabhi to ask that question.
Yeah, hi. March affected mainly our savings business, both on the core side as well as in PB Partners. We estimate, as in this is a difficult one to say with accuracy, but we estimate that, you know, in our overall business, I mean, if you look at our overall roughly 2,200 crores of business, 7-8% difference would be there because of March. And yes, you are absolutely right that clearly, in April, there was an impact of excess there was some demand which got pulled forward to March. So clearly, April was slow. And you've seen the industry numbers. I'm sure you would have seen that.
That's the savings business. However, on the health and term business, actually, April has been a pretty
yes.
strong month.
Understood. Got it. And, you know, second, I wanted to ask a question on PB Partners. So now, this is the first quarter where we'll see some renewal revenue, correct me if I'm wrong, in PB Partners. I want to understand what will be the economics on the renewal business in PB Partners. Yeah.
So I would say that renewal revenue is still small in PB Partners. Partly because the renewal rates in this business are not as good as the renewal rates in our direct-to-consumer business. So right now, I wouldn't necessarily call them out and say that it would be a big big issue or big delta. As far as the economics is concerned, the economics are slightly better on the renewal than they are on the fresh business, as you would imagine. But again, it's not a meaningful number at this point.
So the take rates would be equivalent on the renewal business as they would be on the new business from the PB partner side?
Pretty much. I would say pretty much because, you know, the renewal business works a lot based like a new business almost in motor insurance. See, largely the renewal business is on the motor portfolio. The life portfolio will merge this year, right? So right. On the motor side, the renewal is pretty close to the new business. But on the life business, the economics will be different, right? Because there the renewal revenue is obviously different than the fresh revenue.
Right. Understood. Understood. And I haven't gotten a chance to obviously take a look at your presentation because things were delayed and it's just now just come, right, while the call was on. What was the growth in new business for term and health? Have you called that out?
We don't call that out separately. We don't call out segment by segment. But new business growth was 31%.
For all of life, or this is life and general put together?
Yeah, we are looking at life and health.
That's term and health, right? Then 31%.
So that's term, savings and health, right?
Oh, even savings. Okay, understood.
Yeah.
Understood. All right, that's it from my side. I'll come back in the queue as I go through the presentation. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Arjun Vikas from Alpha Wave Global. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Hi, Ashish. Hi, Sarvesh. Congratulations on a great set of numbers. Just quick, a couple of questions. Again, didn't have a chance to go through the presentation, but wanted to check if we call out any revenue or growth split on the Paisa Bazaar side between credit cards and personal loans and other products.
Maybe. Hi, like we mentioned, we don't give segment-wise growth, but segment-wise composition. But we have mentioned actually the growth rates for personal loans and credit cards in the presentation. So on a YoY basis, the dispersal grew by 53%, and credit cards would be in the range of about 80% growth.
Understood. And just a hygiene question, given the micro environment you know, that we are in, just wanted to check on the fixed expenses side, how much of an increase are we expecting in headcount as well as you know, salary per head kind of at an average level going into FY24?
Yeah, I think fixed expenses should increase by about 8% from March to April. So quarter on quarter, you should see about an 8% increase. And for the year, then you should not see an increase from there onwards. I just had a small clarification on the previous question as well, Arjun, because I know this can cause a calculation mistake. The core business, to be very specific, the extra business we got because of the high value or the savings part on the core side was about 50 crore rupees. So, you know, as you look at the performance, when you look at a 31%, you probably need to take that out to kind of take a genuine year-on-year comparison.
Okay. Understood. I think that was the previous participant, but understood. Got it. Thank you so much. That's it for my time.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sachin Dixit from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Congrats on a great result set. Quickly on the piece on how the savings piece would have benefited in March quarter. Right. So currently, we are already sitting 2 months in Q1. Do you see that sort of reversing and on a like-to-like basis, there might be a drop in numbers on the premium issue?
I'll take that. I think April, clearly you saw the industry was down year on year on the retail side. I think that is there. May, we'll have to see how it happens. So May looks better than April, but I think there will be an impact. I think this March was an exceptional month, and definitely there'll be some impact into this quarter as well.
Understood. And another question on the new initiatives piece. So I see we are now running at almost 365 crore in revenue, while the core Policy Bazaar, this revenue is close to 390 crore as far as my quick math has helped me. So considering with the scale at which it has reached, can we also share some more operating metrics on the line, as in like you mentioned PIN codes, how many partners, what is the churn rate, any such details there?
I think it's best to kind of see, it's a market where it's a competitive market, there are a lot of players, and I think it's best to stay with these numbers. I would also not get carried away by Q4 and, you know, say that, you know, both those numbers are not really comparable. These are two very different types of businesses. And I think the retail revenue of 380 or almost 400 crores is, I think, significantly more valuable than the USP revenue.
Yeah, I agree. I just mean, at the scale at which we are operating, it will be great to have some more color there.
Sure, we'll consider that. We'll think about what other metrics we can present.
Sure. And just final one question, if I can squeeze in, any color on what the renewal mix looks like this quarter? I know this is a question that troubles us every quarter.
Renewal mix in the sense? Sorry,
in,
I didn't understand.
In the core Policy Bazaar premium, what percentage is renewal?
The renewal rate, I think, has been improving over the years.
Yeah.
So there is no particular change there. Yeah. So our renewal rate stays, on a premium basis of the premium that we collected the previous year. This year on health, about 103% gets renewed. So there is no change whatsoever that one needs to talk about in terms of health renewals or any other renewals.
Understood. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nitesh from Investec. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. So firstly, can you talk about the, you mentioned that there are better efficiencies on the new business in our online business. So can you quantify that, how the contribution margin or EBITDA margin in the new business panning out on the insurance side?
I think... I would say that, you know, because of the extra scale that we got in Q4, right? So you would have seen throughout the year, we almost take, you know, anywhere between 40 to 60% of that incremental revenue falls to the bottom line. And in a quarter like Q4, it's towards the higher end of that range. And so what is really happening is that when you're able to increase your revenue beyond a certain point, it drops to the bottom line. And that's what really happened. So the same three levers that Yashish mentioned, one is growth in new revenue, I mean, in new business, second, renewal revenue, and third, you know, overall efficiencies that we have in terms of our fixed cost. So I think these are the three levers that played out in Q4, little bit higher than in previous quarters because the revenue was higher.
If you think about it, in the year on year on Q4, our core business revenue is up by about 118 crores, and that has led to a 54 crore extra EBITDA. If you look at an annualized basis, the revenue is up 510 crores. That led to a 218 crore extra EBITDA. So essentially what Tarapir is saying, roughly 40% plus is flowing through to the EBITDA. If you look at the contribution level, roughly 55 to 60%, let's say 55% is flowing into the contribution. Now our margins are not 55%, so that's a combination of renewal revenue being a slightly larger proportion, and maybe you get some impact from that, and the remaining impact is just because as you grow, your fixed costs are not growing, so you get that impact as well, and some efficiencies on the core business in terms of operating efficiencies.
Sure. And if you look at from the next 2 to 3 years point of view, I think renewal income growing, proportion of renewal income growing and improving our profitability is quite clear. Do we also expect that the new business will start to make profit and there the margins will improve significantly given the scale that we will reach?
We don't do calculations in that manner that new business and renewals business profitability is calculated separately, because the renewals cannot happen, please appreciate, without the engine, the bogies can't move. So you can't have renewals if you don't have fresh business. So that's absolutely dependent on it. It's accumulation of the past effort that's happened. And thus they cannot, the thing that's important is the new business growth. From a financial perspective, it's important to consider renewals, that's all. But we look at it as an NPV internally. We expect our new business over a long, medium-ish term to keep growing at 30%-ish or so. And if we don't grow at that rate, then that is the question mark. But otherwise, we should, because we think the industry will grow at about 10-15%, and we should grow at 2 to 3 times the industry level.
Let me try to flip the question. So NPV per unit of premium in the online business, has that been trending upward? And if you can just share the degree of increase in NPV as percentage of premium for us. Let's say in last 3 years, it was X percentage, and now it has become 2X percentage or something like that.
It's a non-GAAP number. Right now, it's at about 2.8X, which is basically your NPV divided by direct costs. Now, if you want a sense of it, that's about 2.8X as of today.
Okay, and what was the number approximately, let's say 3 years back or 4 years back, if you can share?
See, there are many things here. See, it depends on the mix. It depends on multiple factors. Typically, the way as a management team we decide on such things is not to look at the current year output only. We basically say, does it make sense for the company medium to long term? Just to give you a very simple example, suppose in a particular product line, our contribution in the first year is zero, but we know at the NPV level, this is a very, very healthy business to do. In such a case, we will be very, very clear that we want to increase the new business as much as possible. Even though in the short term, it will result into a little bit of mixed change and it can look worse as a total percentage contribution which will come out of it. But eventually, for the company perspective in medium term, that's the best thing to do. As Yashish said, eventually it's the engine which will drive the bogies. So we have to invest in getting more business if it's possible. So as a management team, we are very clear on these things. Now, if there's a mix change for a particular reason in a particular quarter, obviously you may see a little different number. But practically, if you look at any particular vertical, whether it's life, whether it's health or motor, and not look at a quarter-on-quarter movement, the things have not changed drastically. There is improvement, which is a very, very gradual, slow improvement. So there is no drastic change anywhere as such.
Sure. Thank you. Thank you. And lastly, on the credit business, that business is doing really well in terms of growth, profitability. So what is the outlook there? What sort of growth are we envisage in that business over the next 2 to 3 years?
Sure. As you can see from the presentation, on a full year basis, our disbursements grew by about 75%, and our credit card issuance growth was higher than that. In credit, if you look at the industry in a good year grows by about 16%, 17%, 18%, and then every 5-6 years there's some downturn. So on a 5-year CAGR basis, it grows by about 13-14%. We have a similar philosophy that as a digital business who's in a growth stage, we should grow by about 3-4x of the industry. So we are hoping that we can continue to maintain that momentum, which we've done in the last couple of years. And on the profitability side, we've now shown and demonstrated that we are able to operate at 40% or thereabouts margin. And the incremental business is happening at that kind of margin, and hence, with the efficiency coming in from a fixed cost perspective, the EBITDA ratios have continuously improved, resulting in we becoming adjusted EBITDA positive from December onwards. So we'll continue to see improvement in the ratios going forward.
Sure. And just a follow up on that, I noticed that the share of trail revenue trail in disbursement and trail in credit card has increased. So what is driving that, and does it impacting our current quarter revenue?
You would have seen in the last couple of quarters that we have undertaken the co-created strategy where we work with the lending partners or credit card partners and co-create the products either to expand the market or innovate on the product or the process side. In some of these partnerships, our revenue is for the lifetime of the product, resulting in a very healthy trail. And strategically also, it helps us build a trail revenue, which, you know, starts to operate very similar to the trail revenue or annual revenue in insurance, coming in at 85% or so margin. So it's a very deliberate strategy. You're right that we have, if you can see the NPV or the trail revenue for the last quarter, I think you mentioned it, it's about 10% of our revenue. And we are right now investing into increasing the trail, which means that, yes, there is a short-term revenue that we are pushing out in the future. But despite that, we have managed to kind of maintain the 40% margin and become adjusted a bit profitable. So in future, from a 1-3 year perspective, we are hoping that this will actually strengthen our profitability position as the trail revenue next year starts to come in at 85% margin.
Sure. Thank you. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Arya Sen from Franklin Templeton. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. I just wanted to reconfirm that the estimate you gave of additional revenue because of the concluding of savings product is 50 crore?
Yes. On the core business, I just wanted to clarify, on the core business, the policies we received, which were 5 lakh rupees plus, etc., that was exactly 47 crores. The premium I received on the core business in March for policies which were more than 5 lakh rupees was 47 crores. Now, you could make your own assumptions on how many of the policies less than 5 lakhs, etc. We can't really assess that.
And we have maintained that, Verse is a platform where customers come for very different reasons. So this impact was much less for us compared to the industry. Yes, there was obviously an impact, as you mentioned, but very, very, very muted.
I would say this 47 crores, a bulk of it would not have come if that single event wasn't there. So yes, it was a one-time event, I would say. Maybe if that event wasn't there, this 47 crores might have been 7 crores. I don't know. I'm just giving you a broad assessment, but yes, there was a little bit extra that we received, and that is the case. And that is the premium level. That is the premium level, that's not the revenue level.
So, and the 50 crore you mentioned earlier is also at premium level or at revenue level?
That 50 crore is 47 crores. I was just giving the exact number rather than a random.
Okay, but that is at premium level, not at revenue level.
Premium. Yeah, premium level. It is at a premium level, yes.
Because, the related question would have been, the POSP business seems to have seen a sharp jump, and the jump in the non-POSP business is much less, but you are saying that effectively there was not that much of a contribution from this as per you.
From the core business, I'm explaining, let's stay on the core business, let's leave the POSP out of it. The core business, it was about 47 crores. POSP net margin, look guys, let's not get confused about POSP a bit too much. Yes, the 365 or whatever, 350 is a great number to get excited about. The net revenue is roughly zero on POSP. So I think that's what you have to keep in mind. It's basically a pass-through business at the end of it. So let's just keep that at the back of our mind before we kind of start really deliberating upon how POSP is becoming bigger than the core business and all that stuff. It's a payment gateway.
And Arya, we have been investing in building out the life and health in PB partners as well. But that's, again, like any other business, that's slow build. It will continue to improve. And there would have been a little bit of impact of pre-poning on that part of the business. But, it's very, very tough to estimate how much is the postponement from April to March, since we have been building it up over last 6-8 months. So right now health and life has become meaningful, but we have to see over years or maybe quarters, not years, to see whether that is the real sustainable number. Because, you know, just looking at 1 month won't give us too much information on the key partners, increase of life and health.
Yeah, we feel good about the POSPI business. We feel very good about it. We feel confident. We're going to maintain leadership in that business. We feel good about all aspects of it, but comparing it to the core business would be thinking very differently.
The main highlight on the PB partners, to be honest, Arya, is actually two highlights. One, our total loss in all the initiatives put together is less than 10% of revenue. And the second one, our contribution, which is the operating margin in a way, is minus 1%. So we are almost broken even on the operating side on the initiatives. So, you know, from initiatives perspective, those are the two main points to be noted rather than just the top line.
And I haven't gone through your presentation. So, is there any change in your FY24 additional EBITDA guidance in the core business? Earlier, you were indicating 150 to 200 crores, right? So, that remains, or is there any change?
So, see, we had given a few guidances in the past, which we are not changing, which is we should be, you know, we hope to be, and I feel confident we should be PAT positive next year. We also have given some guidance on the PAT being about 1,000 crores in 26-27. Those two stay. Besides that, we're not giving any guidances and we're not in the business of giving guidances. So, actually, we won't be giving any further guidances than that.
Sure. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amit Jeswani from Stallion Asset.
Hi, Ashish and team. I was just trying to figure out. So one thing is very clear that 50 crores is the premium, right? I'll just repeat this again. 50 crores is just the premium. Right?
Yeah. 47 crores is the additional premium in savings and our entire business that came because of this tax impact on the core business, right? So
okay.
Yeah, that is the premium. It's not revenue. That would broadly translate to about 14-15 crores of revenue broadly.
Well, you've done well, Yashish. You've done well this quarter. Congratulations on that, first of all. So, Yashish, 2 points. First, just trying to think about FY24. You said your fixed costs will go up 8% this year. Okay. On the existing...
No, that needs to be clarified. I said March, which is last quarter fixed cost. So, if you look at our last quarter fixed cost, our average fixed cost for the next year will be 8% above that.
Got it. March quarter.
Yeah, the March quarter.
Okay. So we are at 1,700 crores revenues on the existing business. And you said we should grow 2 to 3 times faster than the industry, right? For the existing business. Is that what you meant?
Absolutely. Right.
2 to 3 times faster. Got it. And Yashish, just one question on April dip. How large is typically the dip between Q1 and Q4 on the B2C business, the existing business? Because Paisa Bazaar won't get impacted. I'm just trying to understand the Policy Bazaar impact.
So let us go through that a little bit. I'll just hand over to Sarbvir in 1 minute. The impact you will see will only be on the savings business. Okay. And while we don't break out health and life, actually we are seeing some of the best months in health and life compared to the last 12 months, right? So health and life are actually growing a little better than the past. So, you know, I'd hand over to Sarbvir to kind of answer that question in a little more detail.
So typically Q1 is 10 to 15% below Q4. In savings this year, that number will be much higher. As Yashish mentioned, in term and health, we are on a year-on-year basis seeing very good progress so far. So we'll see how it all shakes out. You know, we still have another 40-45 days to go. So we'll see how it all shakes out. But I think there is a normal seasonality of Q1 from Q4. And this year, that will be a little bit more exaggerated because one part of the business will, you know, see a bigger than usual drop.
Sure.
I think that's how I would leave it at this point.
And I think one last thing, I think the savings business is not seeing an impact only because people utilize March. I would say the 47 crores of premium that came to us in the core business was perhaps business, you know, a lot of it may not have come to us in the normal course of events. Those customers may not have come to us in the normal course of events. But there's also another impact that we should be able to start seeing some, which is the two types of tax structures. And I believe a lot more customers will end up choosing the type of tax structure which does not, which is a more simple tax structure. And that should also have some impact on savings. There are, of course, opportunities as well, which we are working on, because people who used to think you want to invest 1.5 lakh could start thinking they want to invest 5 lakh. So there's lots of things that are going on, but broadly tax is becoming less and less of a reason to buy savings products.
See, one thing which we have always maintained, the whole Pulsar business is about 3 Ds, death, disease and disability. Yes, we do savings, we do motor, but the focus has always been on term and health. Now, in a particular quarter, it may look better or worse, but, you know, those are very, very short-term trends. There can be so many different things which may happen. Some not in our control, some in control. You know, COVID was a very big 2 years period where all the data actually has become quite drunk, to be honest. It's very tough to extrapolate based on what happened in the last 2 years because of COVID. Overall, if you look at the trend and the opportunity in term insurance and health insurance, that's massive. And that continues to be the case, not today, not next year, but for many, many years to come. And, as more and more people are becoming aware of the need of these products, and as we are able to drive more innovation, easier way of buying, giving more confidence to the customers around the claim part, I think that will just help the escalation of people wanting to buy these products on their own. And when they want to buy, they come to Policybazaar, and we obviously benefit out of that.
Got it. So I was just seeing a revenue delta on the existing business, okay, has been 500 crores, and our contribution delta has been 280 crores. If I fundamentally think about a 30% kind of growth, that means we'll grow at 510 crores again next year. Would it be fair to say our contribution growth will be 282 crores again, or will it be higher or lower?
No, we won't get into that debate and conversation.
Our business, our cost is growing by 8% fundamentally, and if our revenues grow at 30%, there is a lot of operating leverage. So ideally,
I will not comment on your analysis. But your analysis is your own. And I think I would like to stop there. We've given the past. So there are no tricks in the past. There's no game. So maybe your analysis is right. Maybe. I'm not going to verify your analysis.
Got it. I wish you all the luck, Yashish and Payne. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Focused on... Sorry, go ahead.
Sir, please go ahead.
Oh, Yashish was saying something.
Hello?
I think we're done yet. We can go to the next question.
Go to the next question here.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Samyuk Shah from Dinero Wealth. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, hi, sir. Can you talk a little bit about the online marketing and consulting inside of the business as to how this business works, how the fees are charged, and how you look at the revenue growth for the next year?
Can you repeat that?
Mr. Shah, your audio is breaking, sir. I request you to please check.
Am I audible now? Hello?
Yes, sir. Please go ahead with your question.
Yeah. So, sir, could you please talk about the online marketing and consulting business? So, I wanted to understand how the fees are charged in this business and how should we look at the revenue growth
3 years from the for the next 3 years?
You want to be talking from the statutory audit perspective. Some of the revenues which we may have, where we may be doing some marketing activities for some insurance companies or some others. Those are, you know, I wouldn't really get into our individual revenue lines, but I think anybody who follows the market would know them quite well, and they would be a fairly normal thing. And so they are just activities where we are promoting insurance products, and which is not related to the broking activity. So I'll just leave it there.
Okay. And in terms of the number of policies sold, if we see since FY21, the growth in number of policies sold hasn't been much, but the premium per policy has increased. So what could be the reason behind it, and when can we see the number of policies sold growing?
Sorry, the reason you are seeing it that way also is that the mix has changed. So our life and health businesses, which have a much higher ticket size, right, compared to our motor and two-wheeler business, have grown in as a proportion. So that's why when you say, actually if you divide it the way you are doing it, it's actually not that useful, because different businesses have totally different ticket sizes. So what you're really seeing is a mixed effect rather than any individual effect. But yes, I think NOP growth is a challenge for the industry, not as much for us, but it's something that we keep working on.
And also, as you look at the time period you're speaking about, 21 to 23, let's say, the growth in the two-wheeler segment and the motor segment has been much, much lower. You know, I don't have the exact numbers in front of me, but I think the delta in growth rates between the two might be almost 30% or so between, you know, the health and savings versus the two-wheeler and motor, and that is what will explain. So there wouldn't be a difference in, you know, that significant difference in terms of premium rates, and it's not that a number of policies are not increasing. But yeah, number of policies and number of two-wheelers are not increasing for us now still.
Okay. And so one last final question. So would you like to give any indication or guidance for CAPEX for the FY24 and 25?
CAPEX?
Yes.
In our business, the only CAPEX we do is the computer, laptop and server that we have. Typically, if you look at the depreciation number that we have, that's also very, very low, because by nature of the business, we don't have any CAPEX.
So in one of the interviews that I've heard you talk about front loading the CAPEX for the business. So I was referring to that.
I think there may be some confusion here. We don't really have any material CAPEX to talk about. I think it might be a comparison with other businesses that may have a large CAPEX. So I think I understand we're talking about it. One of the interviews, what I was explaining was, suppose you have a steel plant, you'll have a lot of CAPEX, and that obviously gets counted as CAPEX, whereas if you really think about in similar terms, our brand and our infrastructure, our technology platform, as well as our brand spend, that is in a way our CAPEX, which builds the future traffic. Like today we get about more than 80% of our sales come without any need of marketing spend. But that cannot come if we hadn't built a brand, if we hadn't built the infrastructure to kind of attract so many customers in a meaningful manner. So I think I was referring to that. But we ourselves do not have a material CAPEX line.
Yeah, see, broadly, there have been a lot of questions in the past around the loss that companies like us make on initiatives. Now, as she's mentioned, when you have businesses which are more digital in nature, that does not really require a balance sheet investment. In such cases, all the investment that you do on brand, on marketing, on tech development, technically is done because you have to build that business. But the nature of these spendings are such that they have to come in P&L. And that's what we were trying to explain in that interview, that some businesses require CAPEX, but we don't require CAPEX, and whatever we do comes in the P&L every year.
Guys, those explanations are not meant for you guys. You are analysts, you are professional investors. Those are meant for the retail consumer
Because many a time the retail consumer gets hassled by businesses like this, you know, losses and valuations and all that stuff. So one is trying to explain to the retail consumer that, look, you are, don't compare it to a steel plant, etc. So obviously that's not meant for this group here. Just like the 150, 200, whatever, crore extra EBITDA every year is not meant for this group. That was meant for the retail investor to understand. You guys obviously run your Excel there, so you don't need me to explain that.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sachin Dixit from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Hi. Quickly, on any update on Bima Sugam? Like, it's been a while that nothing has come out from on media or anything.
We haven't specifically heard anything, but I think we stay of the opinion that any platform is a very welcome change. And it is great for us to have access to a lot more services, which should help us expand our business. And yeah, we feel very hopeful about it. But yeah, we haven't had any official update recently. Yeah, that's it.
Okay. Just one more housekeeping question. Like we shared last quarter, can you break down premium between core, new initiatives, corporate, and PB margin?
Just give us a second. So, no, this is
between core versus the premium, new initiative. What is
it? Yeah, yeah, okay. So, I'll give you the new initiatives.
We'll get back to you. I think we'll give you the
number. Sure. More around revenue than around premiums. There's a bit of confusion there, but we'll get you these numbers.
Sure. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nischint Chawathe from Kotak Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my question. I think on similar lines, you know, you've been sharing the renewal premium number. If you can share it for the fourth quarter as well.
Sorry, what question?
You know, on similar lines, you have been sharing the renewal premium, figure as well. If you could share that for the fourth quarter.
I think we will update all of this in the deck if that's okay. We'll just update it and kind of put it on the deck, both the premium numbers and the, you know, how much is new business and how much is POSP. We'll put it up there. But let me actually attempt to give you some information. So if you look at the core business in Q4, our premiums are 2643 crores. That's it. Yeah, but actually, you know what? About 2520 crores is the core business. So about 2520 crores is the core business. And that is actually evenly split between new and renewal. So just that's some clarification, but we'll put something more clear up there. Yeah.
Got it. And I think if I calculate, you know, your take rate, which is just, you know, very simply, you know, revenue divided by, you know, the total premium. You know, that ratio seems to have gone up this quarter significantly. So how should we read that?
That is a little bit, again, if you notice, that has been inching up a bit because of the mix change. And again, this quarter, because the life business was a little bigger than normal, that's the main reason it could happen. Otherwise, sort of quarter to quarter, line by line, the take rates haven't changed.
Nishint, in our business, there is nothing that changes suddenly. You know this better than us. So there is a little bit of mix change which may drive this sort of behavior in the numbers. But if you look at individual product lines, nothing has changed.
Got it. And one small question, and this is on new initiatives. I'm looking at slide 9. There is a significant, almost doubling of, you know, revenue but you still sort of seem to be in EBITDA red. So at what point of time do you really break even? And I know it's a very small portion, but still.
I think the guidance we've given is 26-27, our new initiatives will not be negative. They'll be pretty close to, and we've given our new initiatives, team. New initiatives is a competitive area, right? So we've given ourselves that leeway of 2-3 years where we are confident we're getting to that profitability, but we've given ourselves 2-3 years of leeway that if we have to compete, it's like a marathon, right? And we don't know when the other guy is going to run a bit faster for the next 3 kilometers. And so we will see how we handle that situation. Preemptively, we don't want to say how we will run the entire marathon, but we are very confident that over a 3-year period, businesses demand a certain return. And there is also by that. And that implies we will not be making losses, because others will also have to kind of break even at some stage.
Nishin, these are still in the build-out phase. The investment that we are doing today is about a $5 million number per quarter. That's what we want to maintain for the time being. I think at a percentage of what the core business is delivering, it will continue to come down, and we have put a capitalized to invest in these businesses right now. But as Yashir mentioned, in the next 3 years, by FY27, we definitely want to be in a position where you don't need to invest anymore. But there is a path to get to that number. And currently, we are very comfortable with about a $5 million investment apart.
Fair point. I'm just trying to try. I was just wondering, whether there is any movement within the internals of new initiatives, right? Because we just get to see one block.
The reason we don't want to give any guidance except for the PAT positiveness next year, because that part we feel good about. We want to leave some leeway for us to compete. We will be competitive in this area. As we have been. So we don't want to remove our flexibility.
And on the same slide, if you look at the contribution margin graph, you'll see that continuous improvement is there. The effort is that even though we have to work continuously to grow this area, it has to become more and more efficient.
Sure, thanks. And just one last point is, on the motor renewals, in the POSP business, I believe on the revenue side, your arrangements could be very similar, right? Because whether it's in motor, whether it's renewal or new, it's going to be, the same. But when it comes to, what you're sharing with your partners also, that seems to be pretty much similar, is it? Or you probably have something that you could skim out there.
I think I would encourage you to think of it in a slightly different way. I think motor will be always scale and efficiency driven. In the non-motor businesses, I think it's the opportunity where you have to, as you are able to, learn how to sell those businesses, and which is where I think we are doing a far superior job to others, which is why I think our efficiency is much higher. That's where I think you can hope to get more contribution and eventually profit dollars. I think on the motor side, it's a very, very cutthroat business, and I think it's unlikely, whichever way you look at it. And the renewal in motor is very much like a fresh thing. So I would not really put any emphasis on that at all.
Yeah, I think the effort for anybody to try and essentially what I'm hearing is not pay the partner enough on renewals. I think that's the wrong direction. Because that would lead to partner churn, and that would lead to partner disloyalty in a big way. I don't think that's a very accurate description of the POSP business.
It's a platform business. As a platform, you are getting a small percentage of providing that facility. And the best way to look at it is like a payment gateway, as you mentioned earlier. In a payment gateway, you make a small margin for providing a particular platform or facility. Exactly the same way to look at the PB partners business, where agents are using your platform, and since they're using that platform, you are entitled to a small part of the revenue. That's all.
And I understand where you're coming from, but I would also encourage you to look at the motor agency business, and there you will find there's absolutely no difference. So I think anyone thinking that there'll be a difference on the POSP side is probably going to be surprised.
So just one last point, the 24% is largely health, is what one could say.
Sorry, what's that?
24% of non-motor is largely.
It's non-motor. Yeah, got it. Yeah. We stopped there. Yeah.
Okay. Sure. Great. Thank you very much, and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Adarsh from CLSA. Please go ahead.
Hi, Shishin Alok. Congrats on great numbers. First, a few questions on the, the core platform business. Just to break up.
Sorry to interrupt you, Mr. Adarsh. The volume is very low, so I would request you to please increase the volume of your device.
I hope it's better now. So, Shishan Alok, the question was on your core business. The last 2 years have been tough on the industry protection volumes, and we've still grown. So just wanted to understand your assessment of where we stand in terms of what part of the protection market we are in, because, hopefully things recover now, but we've kind of done well in the last two tough years on protection. If you can, obviously, and the second question is, our savings business has scaled up a lot. If you can give some color or texture on where we are in terms of premiums and broad numbers, and what would be the product mix, ULIPs, non-par, if the guaranteed product, any sense and color on that? Thanks.
Yeah. So I'll take that. On the term business, we estimate we are around 20% of the fresh business in the country. As you correctly said, while the market hasn't been super hot in the last 2 years, in fact, has declined, but our business has continued to grow. In Q4, the good news was that the market also did better. So I think there has been finally a turnaround in that market. So we are hopeful that next year will also be similarly better. And the reason we are a little bit more confident is that we have divided our business into various segments, and we are not just looking for growth from core term. We are also looking at how we can do more things for self-employed, for women, for NRI. So there's a full strategy in place, and I think we are more positive about protection in the new financial year. In terms of health insurance, I think we have seen growth, and we continue. Again, it improved during the year because there was a very tough comparison in the first half because of COVID. But in the second half of the year, it continued to improve, and we are seeing increased interest as well in health insurance this financial year as well. On the savings side, without going into exact numbers of what we did, but our composition remains very similar. We are still a capital guarantee shop where we sell a ULIP and non-par together. That is the largest part of our business. In the last financial, the last quarter, because of the tax issues, we did have a little bit more of pure non-par as well. And there we had a very special product which we had co-created, and there we were able to drive significant volume through that product, which was offering the highest return in the market. And I think that helped us in March. But other than that, the general idea remains the same, to sell capital guarantee, which is a unique solution that we offer to the retail in the retail insurance market.
Good. This is helpful. The second question is on new initiatives. When you say that our contributions are just -1%, it broadly means that we are now paying as much as what we were getting from the manufacturers with higher volumes, which is not the case a few quarters back. So just wanted to understand, has the industry structure improving? What are you doing to change it? Or the industry has come to a point where people are not paying over and above what you make, passing on more, right? So is that discipline coming in, or there's something different that we've done?
I would actually say three things have happened. One, that we have improved our overall economics, simply because if you can imagine, we've been now in the market for about 6 quarters. So I think we no longer, the brand that Policybazaar has, the systems that we have, the platform that we've been able to establish does not require us to be necessarily the most aggressive in the market. Second thing that has helped us is the mix of having more health and life business. That obviously is a more positive business, so that there we are able to, generate positivity. The third thing, as far as the market itself is concerned, I would say that yes, it is somewhat more disciplined than it used to be. But there are always players, who have sort of raised money and are willing to throw money around in the market. And that is the nature of this market, which is what I think we were trying to say earlier also, that, one quarter doesn't make a trend. I think you have to look at the market, new people come and go, and we will do what it takes to be super competitive. Of course, strengthening our overall platform and stickiness with agents. And that's something that, you know, I think has played out in Q4 as well.
Thanks. And I'll just squeeze in one more question on the credit business. When you give the renewal kind of business, I just wanted to understand what is our, how does the economics stack up on upfront revenues on credit vis-a-vis a more trail model? What I'm trying to understand is, like if you make a 3.5-4% take rate in year one, when you do it on trail, is it quite different? If you can explain what's like the tenure of those products where you're getting a trail income on credit.
So without going into the specific numbers, I'll try and explain the philosophy. So there are two kinds of products where we have co-created. One is credit cards and one is personal loans. Personal loans typically will have a lifetime of about 3 years average. Credit card has a longer lifetime and they're in the cycle. So we will also discover how exactly longer. As I mentioned earlier, our revenue on these is over the lifetime of the product, and hence, while the overall NPV, we expect it to be higher than if we were doing only upfront business. But like you pointed out, the upfront revenue is lower, and it's a deliberate strategy and to kind of build out the future revenue. But on an NPV basis, we expect it to be reasonably higher than if we were doing upfront only revenue. Having said that, that's not the only reason we're doing this. I explained on why we are doing this, to build out the, you know, expansion of the market or innovate on the products or process.
It's also to build a relationship with the consumer, because you can imagine if we are connected to the payments, if we are connected to the usage, then we can over time start to have some part of it or a lot of it. Let's see how it plays out. Why, that's part of the strategy, right? So
yeah.
It's, there is an NPV enhancement, but there is also a relationship build. You would appreciate, right, if somebody comes and takes a 10-day loan on our platform and we transfer the customer to, let us say, another player for a lender for 3% or 4% payout, that's not a very smart thing to do. The guy has got a very cheap customer acquisition. So we would rather that kind of a transaction easily happen on our platform. So that's what we are, headed towards in some ways.
Got it. This is useful. Thank you, team.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll take the last question from the line of Madhukar Ladha from Nuvama. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you again for taking my questions. Just some data keeping questions. You mentioned, as an answer to my first question, that there's a 31% growth in new business premium. I just wanted to clarify, this is on the platform business, right?
This is a core business, yes.
Core platform business, right.
Yeah.
Can you give me the core business renewal premium for the full year FY23?
Sorry, you asked for the renewal AP.
Renewal premium,
yeah.
For the full year, FY23.
Yeah, just 1 second.
On the core business. Yeah.
So see, the total core business premium is broadly 8,000 crores. Let's just say, okay, it's roughly 8,000 crores. Of this
8,000 crores,
8,500 crores. 8,500 crores.
Right.
About 50% is new, 50% is renewal. So it's broadly 4,000 something each.
Got it. Okay. But did you give out this number, the corporate premium for Q4?
It's 123.
The revenue.
123 crores. Is the corporate premium.
Premium. Okay. Got it. And finally, just wanted to get a sense with the changed commission norms. Do we expect, higher commission payouts for you guys? Are we seeing any change from the manufacturers in terms of, some people getting more aggressive? Some color on that will be helpful.
Yeah, I would say two things. Number one, I think everyone has to come up with a board-approved policy, so people are still working on it. As far as we can tell, based on our discussion so far, we don't see any change to our commission, either up or down. Largely we have always linked our commission to the quality of our business and the overall profitability of an insurance company. So to that extent, we are in line with what we deliver. In fact, I think we probably deliver better profitability than most channels. So we don't see any change. We do see a smoothing of the process. I think the process will become easier as we go through this change. This change will take time. But from our perspective, this is definitely not looking in any direction. We're not looking to increase or decrease, you know, our take rates.
Yeah, and in general, we do not encourage, you know, higher take rates between. Other than that, usual, like 99% of the time, on a platform like us, it's almost impossible. I'm not talking about just us. I'm just saying a platform like us. It's almost impossible for a partner to pay more and get more business. Almost impossible. Maybe you can influence your business by 10-15%. Bulk of it will actually come from product improvement and process improvement. And that's what one needs to focus on. What we do request our partners is to be fair to us and not use us for cross-subsidization of other channels. And hence, to look at us on an overall combined operating ratio, because I think we bring to the table better claims ratios and better persistency than, I don't think, we know we bring better persistency and better claims ratios. So to consider that and at least not pay us worse than other channels is what we request. That's just more of a most favored nation status kind of thing. Or let's say, not a disfavored nation status. But other than that, we don't urge for, you know, I don't think for any partner, higher payouts will help.
And then just to add, I would say that we request all the difference that we can get to put it into the consumer proposition. So you'll find that increasingly we have differentiated propositions and they come because of the differences in channel economics.
Got it. Thanks again and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Yashish Dahiya for closing comments.
Thank you very much for attending this call and giving us all those opportunity to answer all those questions. And apologies once again for being slightly late and for ending this call a little later than you may have planned. Thank you so much. Bye now.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of PB FinTech, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.